Amen. Let's go to the Gospel of Matthew. While you're turning there, for those of you who just got here, I read Psalm 146 before church started. That'll be another psalm for you to meditate on this year, Psalm 146. Right before the last verse, it says that he turns the way of the wicked upside down. How many of you would like the tables to turn on some circumstances where the enemy has come into your life and seemingly turned your life upside down? How would you like it if God showed up and turned his life upside down? Wouldn't that be awesome? Amen. Let's read Matthew chapter 6. Starting in verse 19, it says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust do corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust do corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye be single, your whole body shall be full of light. But if your eye be evil, your whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Then he goes on to say, you can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and mammon. You'll love one and hate the other. And he's bringing a divide here, talking about our perceptions, how we see. And this being a year where we are going to see a greater divide between light and darkness. In fact, the number 9, which is in the Hebrew alphabet, the 9th letter of the Hebrew alphabet is the letter Tet, which is a pictograph. It actually looks like a snake. Looks like a snake. And it's the picture of the potential of mankind, really. You have a potential of good and you have a potential of evil. And it all depends on your perspective. At least that's what Jesus just said. The light of the body is what? The eye. So if your eye is evil, then your whole body is filled with darkness. But if your eye is single, then your whole body is filled with light. That word single there is two words. It's the number 1, and it's to intertwine, to intertangle together. And I think what Jesus is describing here is our potential to see glory where there seems to be no glory. Our potential to see hope where there seems to be no hope. Our potential to look beyond the natural things and peer into heaven and actually see from heaven's perspective. You remember in the book of Genesis, in the beginning when the Lord started to create things, he said, "Let there be light." And it was so. And he looked at the light and saw that it was good. That word good there is the first time the letter Tet is used in the scriptures. He saw the light that it was good. And then it says that he divided the light from the darkness. And the light he called day and the darkness he called night. So in the midst of light, there was darkness and God made a divide. He called the light good. But out of the thing he called good, he made a separation. He separated light from darkness. It's always fascinating to me how in the mind of God and His wisdom, He causes us to live in a dichotomy. He causes us to live in a dual reality where there's always potential for either good or evil. Always. In every circumstance, there's either potential for good or evil. I mean, in every circumstance, every choice you make, it's either the right choice or it's the wrong choice. There's no in between there. Which gives a lot of peace to me, because if I make the wrong choice, I can always go back and make the right one once I figure out I made the wrong one. But this year is going to be a separating year, like we've continued to see separation. We're going to see this in politics. We're going to see this in business. We're going to see this in every aspect of your life, of your world. The world we live in is going to continue to be this separation where the light becomes brighter and the darkness becomes darker. So we're going to have a lot of opportunities to look at our world and perceive something that's either full of chaos and very scary, or look at our world and see many opportunities for God's glory to invade. I want to give you an example so we kind of have something to relate to. Do y'all remember the story of Jairus, the guy whose daughter was sick? And he's coming to Jesus because she's dying. And he's heard of this Jesus who, you know, is healing blind people and doing miracles and multiplying food. And so he's heard of this miracle man, this miracle worker. And so he comes to him and he's saying, Jesus, I need you to heal my daughter. She's dying. So Jesus says yes to her, or yes to him. Says yes to Jairus, saying yes to the cry of the daughter who's wanting to be healed. In the middle of a group of individuals who are pressing in, trying to get the same answer. And it's in the middle of him saying yes to Jairus that the woman with the issue of blood presses through the crowd and by faith touches the hem of his garment and pulls healing out of him without Jesus even saying a word or doing anything. He had heaven on the inside of him that was accessible by faith. But we got to see a lot more to that story, because when Jesus says yes to Jairus, and he's going through the crowds of people, it's like he's saying no to everybody else. Have you ever been in a situation where you're praying and you're crying out, and the person next to you is getting the miracle you're asking God for? Couples that for years have been trying to get pregnant, and it seems like the more you pray to get pregnant, you see more pregnant people everywhere you go. You know, they're like praying and crying out for a car, and then somebody at work starts telling you about their new car, and every time you turn around, somebody's getting a new car, and you're like, wait a minute, Lord, what have you forgotten my address? You know, have you forgotten who I am? Are you not hearing my prayers? Everybody else in the crowd saw Jesus moving through and were touching him, right? That's what the story says. But he's moving on. He's going because he has a yes for Jairus. But in the midst of the yes for Jairus, it seems like it's a no for everybody else. But by faith, the woman with the issue of blood presses in and gets a yes for her answer too, for her prayer as well, by faith. And we're going to find ourselves in circumstances like that quite a bit this year, where our faith is going to be tested in the way of, it seems like everybody else around us is getting answers and we're not getting answers. And so we're going to be tested with this idea that, am I willing to have faith to press in here, even though everybody else seems to be getting the answer I'm asking for. Let me say it to us in a different way. We're going to be tested. Are you willing to celebrate God answering somebody else's prayer that you've been praying out for while you're waiting for yours to come? Can you honor God moving in somebody else's life and celebrate His goodness in somebody else's life, because their victory is actually your victory? Their yes is actually your yes. His yes to Jairus was actually the yes to everybody else had they pressed in by faith, like the woman with the issue of blood. So they're going on their way, right? And the daughter dies, right? And so Jairus is upset, and he's like, never mind, Jesus, it's done. It's done with. It's over with. So he's found himself in a situation where it seems like darkness has overtaken. The yes that Jesus said, light has already declared. Remember what John said. Jesus was the light. In him was the light of men. The light shined in the darkness, but the darkness didn't comprehend it. The light is speaking against the darkness. But it seems like the darkness is prevailing. And then Jesus says, it's going to be okay. Don't worry. Just believe. Just believe. So he shows up to the house and he raises her from the dead. It's a wonderful biblical illustration that shows us how all things are possible to those who believe. That no matter what circumstance comes into your life, if Jesus has said one thing, if God is saying one thing, His word trumps everything else. It doesn't matter what the circumstance is saying. It doesn't matter. What God says is the truth. And our ability to look beyond the circumstance and to find joy, to find peace, to find, to say it the way that James said it, to count it all joy when we find ourselves in divers temptations. To count it all joy. To survey our lives and do the math and come up with the answer of joy. Which, by the way, is a supernatural act that comes by the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of circumstances that come into our lives and we can look at it and be like, you know, God, I know You're good, but this doesn't feel good. It doesn't look good. It doesn't seem good. But I know You're good, and all things work together for my good. But, you know, so let me just go ahead and try to count this as joy, even though when I do the math, this doesn't feel very good. It's a supernatural act of the Holy Spirit to be able to look into a circumstance and actually see the finger of God working and moving, reshaping, rewriting the story, giving Him glory somehow, some way, somehow. I remember Apostle Chuck Pierce, his wife, telling the story of twins that they had, and they couldn't get pregnant, and she got pregnant, and they had twins, and they lost the twins. And she just said, you know, the Bible says, resist the devil and submit yourself to God and He'll flee. And she said, God, I don't understand this circumstance. But I'm not going to let the devil get any glory out of this. You're going to get some glory out of this. So I'm going to resist the devil and I'm going to go ahead and submit my life to You and let You get the glory. Life just happens. But in the midst of it, God can get glory. And she talked about how there were just revival broke out in their family. There were family members getting off drugs, and what was that? Something's breaking free. Hallelujah. But she gave the testimony about how they had been praying for family members that were on drugs and alcohol and in different forms of perversion. And through that submission, they had revival. It brought the family together in a way that it just hadn't come together. And, you know, some people will say, well, I had to go through that in order for this to happen. No, you didn't have to go through that in order for this to happen. It happened, and you chose to submit yourself to God, and He chose to go ahead and bring glory. He's a good Father. He's a good God. He doesn't want us to suffer pain and all of that. He doesn't want us to have to go through all of that stuff, but life just happens. And when we choose to see it from His perspective, in other words, when we choose to go ahead and say He's good anyway, and we choose to go ahead and exalt Him and worship Him and honor Him through all things we walk through, light just penetrates through darkness. It just, things come out that you can't even think about. You know, you look back on it, you're like, wow, I couldn't have told that story. You know, I couldn't have made that up. It just happened this way, you know. So the Lord separates the light from the darkness. Just say this over yourself. Say, I'm going to see light this year. And let me expound on that a little bit. When I'm asking you to say that, what I'm saying is, when you survey, when you look at your life, you're going to see heaven's model for it. You're going to see Jesus. You're going to see what heaven has to say about it. And it's going to be a situation that you don't understand. I mean, that's when you know you're really hearing from heaven, where it goes beyond your understanding. It goes beyond, you know, your ability to comprehend it in your human intellect. It's like Mary, when the angel shows up and says, you know, you're highly favored among women, and the Holy Spirit's going to hover over you, and you're going to have a child. And she's like, what are you talking about? What do you mean? And when heaven's talking to you, if you understand perfectly everything that was just said, you may want to go back into prayer and dig a little bit deeper, because it may not be heaven talking to you. But when heaven's truly talking to you, you don't have the ability to comprehend what just happened. It goes beyond even your ability to pray with understanding, and it goes beyond your imagination. It goes beyond you. It goes beyond what you've experienced in the past. It goes into a realm of supernatural. I mean, the Scripture tells us that without faith it's impossible to please the Lord, right? And if we don't have faith, if the things we're walking into do not require us to have faith, we have to question, well, is this really the plan of God for my life or not? If you can figure it out by yourself, you don't need God. But if it requires you to get out of your comfort zone, and it requires you to move beyond what you've experienced and what you know to experience something new, that's probably God. If it's really uncomfortable for you, and if it's something that requires you to really depend on the Lord with everything, that's probably what God is talking to you about. And these hidden riches and these hidden treasures, the riches in the secret places, it's going to be those things this year. It's going to be circumstances that are beyond your ability to even understand or comprehend. It'll be something where God will say something to you and you're like, are you sure? And then you're just going to have to be like Mary and say, well, okay, let it be unto me according to your word. God, I don't understand. I have no idea what you just said to me, but okay. I don't know if this is how y'all walk with the Lord, but the more I think I understand about Him, the more I realize I don't know anything about Him. As I walk with God and experience Him in everything that I do, I just learn that I don't know nothing. The moment I think, oh yeah, we've got this thing for you know, I don't got anything figured out. And I think it's wonderful because life can be a journey of expectation, and life can be this journey where God just reveals His glory to you in so many new ways and new things in all things of your life. Or life can be this like a padded cell where nothing can go wrong and you have to know all the information and you have to know what's going to happen. And so you choose. You either choose to make yourself vulnerable to the changes that God has for you, or you choose to keep yourself safe and never do anything new and never try anything new and never allow God to bring you into an experience of His glory in a new way. We have a choice. You can choose to live in fear, or you can choose to live in faith. You can choose to allow fear to confine you to yesterday's experience, or you can choose to allow courage to rise up and step out, even in circumstances that are really scary. I mean, what would happen in relationships if we just decided to be vulnerable to one another and communicate? I mean, rather than having to dominate the conversation, and rather than having to control everybody's life, and rather than having to project ourselves on other people. I mean, what would relationships be like if you could actually have empathy and try to understand somebody else's world? You know what I'm saying? Trying to bring it down to your everyday lives here a little bit. What would life be like every day if you just woke up and decided, I'm going to have joy today? And I'm not going to get frustrated at the people on the road that drive crazy. I'm not going to get frustrated about all the little things in my life that don't go right. But I'm just going to go ahead and have joy. I mean, what would life be like if you just decided today that you're going to be the one that God uses to bring a healing movement to Houston? What would that be like? You just decide, every person I see that looks like they need healing, I'm going to stop and pray for them. Whether I see the answer or don't see the answer. Because Jesus said, heal the sick, so I'm going to choose today to be the person that Jesus uses to heal the sick. How is it that we allow life to overshadow the dreams that God has put in our hearts? How is it that we allow the circumstances of our lives to come in and rob us of all the glory that He has for us? How is that? How does that happen? If your eye is single, your whole body will be filled with light. If your eye is evil, your body will be filled with darkness. How great is that darkness? So I've just found that nothing that God is trying to bring in my life is really easy, in the sense of I have to choose every day to submit myself to what He's saying. And when it's not happening, I have to choose to submit myself and to celebrate and to say, okay, God, this situation isn't what you said it needs to be. It's not going the way you said it would go. But I'm going to go ahead and choose to agree with what you're saying anyway. You just have to choose to go ahead and agree with what he's saying rather than what your world is telling you about. You have to go ahead and align yourself with heaven rather than choose something else. For those of us who are political, you have to go ahead and choose to let go of the political spirit and say what Jesus is saying about it. For those of us who have to have everything perfect, like my wife was saying a minute ago, we have to go ahead and choose to say it doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be consistent. Because he'll make it perfect, right? I mean, for so long in my life, being an engineer, I needed lots of details. I needed to know all the details, and I needed to know how it works, and I needed to be able to take stuff apart and figure out how does this work. I need to understand. And then when I started walking with Jesus, he started to do things in my life that totally wrecked that world, totally. Because he wouldn't tell me, he wouldn't give me details, and I'd have to wait. And I'd have to walk it out with him. And I'd have to walk with him on a daily basis and let him lead me into what he said without me being in control of it. And I'm trying this morning to give us some hope for this year, because there's great riches and there's great treasures. God has so much glory for us in the next coming months. But if we need to have control, we're going to miss it. And if we're aligned with something other than the Holy Spirit, we're going to miss it. We won't have a testimony. But if we choose to go ahead and allow the Lord to show us light, to intertwine our perspective with his perspective. That's what it means if your eye is single. Jesus said, I don't do anything that I haven't seen or heard my Father do in heaven. Jesus was so connected with heaven that it dominated everything he did. It dominated everything he said. It dominated everywhere he went. Even when it seems like he's not really in alignment with heaven. You remember the miracle with the wine and the water, turning the water to wine. And Jesus tells his mom, you know, I'm sorry, but it's not my time yet. And she's like, I'm sorry, Jesus, but you're just not hearing heaven right now. Let me help you. You know, go get the water and bring it over here. And so, in the midst of a circumstance where Jesus says it's not my time, heaven obviously said, well, it's time for you to demonstrate miracles. So it seems like that Jesus wasn't really hearing correctly, but in the midst of the situation, he was seeing what was happening. Obviously, something in his heart said, yeah, this is heaven. And so he changes the water into wine, which was the first miracle. That was the beginning of miracles. That became the measuring stick, if you will, that demonstrated, this is how we need to measure whether or not heaven's involved. Is there miracles? Is there supernatural? Is there something supernatural going with this? Did you know that you don't always have to be the one that has the word from God? I don't know if this happens to you, but I'll be out in a place that's, you know, these people don't know God. They can't spell God. They have never experienced God. And somebody will say something and I'm like, ooh, that's the Lord. I've spent enough time with Jesus in my prayer room to know his voice. I've spent enough time with the Holy Spirit alone to know when he's talking. And sometimes the Lord will speak to you through people that, you know, you're just like, and are you willing to receive a word from somebody you don't like? Are you willing to receive a word from a vessel that's, you know, doesn't have the style you prefer, or doesn't have the... Are you willing to receive a prophetic word from somebody that you're just like... Are you willing? Because he'll do it. He'll offend your mind. He'll offend you just to see what's in your heart. Are you ready or aren't you ready? Psalm says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing will offend them. Great peace, right? Nothing shall offend them. Yeah. Do you love the teaching of the Lord, or don't you love the teaching of the Lord? And you're like, well, right now, Lord, I don't love this, but okay. I'm going to go ahead and receive your teaching anyway. So this is going to be a year filled with just wonderful blessings. It's going to be a year where families are going to reconcile in ways that you didn't think were possible. It's going to be a year where miracles break out in places that you didn't think miracles could break out. It's going to be a year, even on a global basis, we're going to continue to see people hearing the cry of God and revival breaking out in places all over the world. Healing and miracles and deliverances and things, justice coming to circumstances where there's been injustice for years. We're in a season of history where God is pouring out His justice. But if it has to be our way, we're going to miss it. Because some of the things God's bringing to you is going to require you to sacrifice. It's going to require some suffering. But in the midst of the suffering, if you can rise above, it will be exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or think. Amen? So a couple more things about the Hebrew letter, Tet. It's one of those letters that has crowns. You know when Jesus said every jot and tittle will be fulfilled? A lot of scholars believe that the crowning of the Hebrew, you know, because the original text was written in Hebrew. And they would crown certain letters to give it a certain expression. And most scholars believe that the tittles were the crowns on the letters. Crowns on the letters. Y'all remember Moses' serpent, or Moses' staff that turned into a serpent? Where Jesus said, the Lord out of the bush says, cast it down on the ground. And he cast his staff down on the ground, and it turns into a snake. And then he picks it up again, and he picks it up again. Some people are afraid of the devil. But in that illustration, what the Lord was showing Moses is, yeah, I know that looks like it's evil, but when you pick it up, it's not. You actually have authority over the darkness. He used that staff, that same thing that when he threw it on the ground, it was the snake, which was the thing that deceived man and, you know, Adam and Eve in the garden. It was a picture of evil, but in the hands of Moses, it was a powerful thing of authority that brought deliverance. But where Moses got it wrong was when God said, speak to the rock, he took that staff and he struck the rock twice. Remember, that's why he couldn't go in the promised land. And so there's always this potential of good and evil. It was always this thing where some things look like they're evil, but when they're in the hands of a righteous person, they're actually really good. And they're actually a staff of authority that can bring deliverance to a circumstance and a situation. So we've got to let the Lord touch our eyes this year. We've got to see in a different way. We've got to not be afraid so much of confronting the kingdom of darkness. So, I mean, if you got Jesus on the inside of you, the devil trembles. He's afraid. He is deathly afraid of you. People talk about, well, the devil's been chasing me all day. And I tell him, Well, stop running and turn around and tell him to go. Why are you running away from him? Stop running. Just turn around and tell him to go back to the pit of darkness where he came from. I tell our girls, I said, girls, when you hear that voice, just tell the devil to shut up. And they're like, well, Daddy, we can't say shut up. I said, you can tell the devil to shut up. You can't tell one another to shut up, and you can't tell Mommy and Daddy to shut up, and you can't tell other people to shut up, but you can tell the devil to shut up. You can have some boldness when you start dealing with that. And we'll have this will be a year of great courage as well, where people will, by faith and courage, take up something that seems to have the appearance of leprosy, but instead of having leprosy, you actually bring healing. You know, people that think that in the past, if they went into a bar to talk to people about Jesus, that, you know, they can't be in a bar because people are drinking alcohol. And so I'm afraid to go to the bar because I might get exposed to something that's going to cause me to sin. Well, you know, it's a good idea to get with Jesus and the Holy Spirit so that when you walk in that place, what's in there doesn't get on you, but what's on you gets on there. You know what I'm saying? People rising up with courage in a new way, breaking off of a religious spirit that says, I can't go here, I can't go there. You know, if you define your faith with God by what you can't do, you probably need a better revelation. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. So it'll be a year where we're going to see the light invading dark places in a new way. Revival coming to places because somebody decided to go ahead and see the serpent and pick it up as a staff like Moses did. Why don't y'all stand with me? Why don't y'all just put your hand on your heart? In Ephesians, Paul prayed that the eyes of our heart would be enlightened, that we would see. So, Father, open our heart. Anoint the eyes of our heart. Let our heart see. Let us perceive properly. Help our hearts be aligned with heaven. Help us perceive light in the darkness. Help us to see beyond the limitations of our lives into the place of supernatural breakthrough. Help us look beyond and see. Help us look beyond broken things into the place of restoration. Father, touch our minds. Put your hand on your head. Touch our minds that it would understand. Help our minds be renewed. Holy Spirit, renew our minds to break out of old cycles, to break into something new. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now the Lord will bless you and keep you. His face will shine upon you. He will give you peace. This will be a year filled with wonderful joy, wonderful blessings, wonderful breakthrough, and wonderful prosperity as you see beyond the darkness in Jesus' name. Give the Lord some glory. And Happy New Year.